हरे सहनावतु सहन भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मावीर्यवशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 20, no?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're on 20?
Mm-hmm. Top.
Top. Hmm? Very top. Very top. Huh? Second paragraph. In order to ensure that nitya and naimittic karma are properly performed, the compilers of the scriptures have closely studied the characteristics and natural propensities of human beings and have formulated a way of life known as Varnashram Dharma. Right? Is that... Yes.
Hasn't Krishna formulated it?
That's there, but the point is those are the compilers of the scriptures. So the means, in other words, the system is there, but they're the ones that are documenting it, because it's Smriti, right? Shruti then is talking about, because everyone in it is following it. But then the point is here, is that those who have compiled these scriptures, they have closely studied the characteristics and natural propensities of human beings. Right? Mm. So it's not for people what they were doing at the time. See, what happens is Varnashram becomes taken as, well, you know, in America they do this, and in England they do that, in France they have this custom, and in Germany they do that, and then there's the Italians, you know, like that. So, but it's that's not what's happening, right? It's not just another system that has just come up due to the modes of nature, because that's what all these other places are, due to the modes, due to the particular people that are there, you know, the situations and all that, the culture develops, right? Does that make sense? You know, it's more warm than, you know, generally you see in any country. It means you have in general more south towards the equator, the more kind of pleasant and friendly the people are, right? You know, it kind of this more relaxed lifestyle, right? And the more north you go, then it becomes a little bit more formal, a little bit more, you know, less so open, right? But within an individual country, it's exactly the same, right? You know, Italy's down south, but those in the south are more kind of open than the ones in the north, right? But then if you go above that to the country, next country, you know, to France or to Switzerland, the ones in the south are more open than the ones in the north. You understand? So it's just, that's just how the modes of nature are working. So Varnashram, one, it accommodates this, because people are affected by the modes, but it's not according to a particular time, place, and circumstance. It's according to the inherent nature of the human being. That's why he mentions here, they closely studied. Not that they just took into consideration and they came up, they closely studied. Right? So that's why the Varnashram system is recommended. And it's not that it doesn't work. It always works. But it's just how much of it one has to do, right? Means for someone who is not used to being regulated at all, right? Means, you know, how are the kids regulated, right? Basically, they don't leave the toys all over the house. They don't yell and scream. They don't break things, right? You know, and basically they're supposed to do what they're told. And if basically they do that, then we'd say they're a good kid, they're nicely trained, right? But we haven't considered what is actually a proper life, cleanliness. We haven't discussed regularity. I mean, the only reason you get up at this time in the morning is you have to go to school or go to work. But if there is no school or work, you wouldn't get up. You know what I'm saying? The only reason you go to bed at a particular time is because the next day you have to go to school or work. If you don't have to go to school or work, then, you know, who knows when they'll go to bed. You know what I'm saying? When you eat is just when you're hungry. Right? You know, it's these old archaic traditions where, you know, you have dinner at a certain time and everyone has to be there and stuff like that. Otherwise, just everybody does whatever they like. You understand? So all they're doing is just, at least there's a semblance that you can cooperate with someone else and not disturb them. And if that much is there, then that's okay. But the actual idea of what a human being is and the need for cleanliness because of the nature of the mind, mind being in goodness, having been produced from goodness, the mind needs a sattvic environment to be peaceful in. And it's the mind that engages the senses. Right? So that means the environment in which one engages the senses should be in the mode of goodness. Does that make sense? So that requires cleanliness, that requires regularity, it requires proper interaction. All these things aren't considered. So they're not actually considering the human being. That's why it says when one takes up varnashram, one takes up the human platform, because varnashram is the lifestyle of the human. You don't follow it, that's subhuman. It's simple. It's not a matter of an insult or not, right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Let us say you play cricket professionally. Okay, now if I said you're a cricket player, would you get upset? No. Okay. You know, so but the point, but if you're not, you know, there, or you don't even play cricket at all, I can't call you a cricket player. You know, I may say you did something nice, so that's cricket. Okay? Anyone gets that one? No one gets that one. Oh. Phew, we're really a dinosaur. Really a dinosaur these days. So what about that's a sticky wicket? I've heard of these ones.
Cricket one's more often used in the negative. That's not cricket.
It's not cricket.
More often used in that form.
Okay. Okay?
Sure.
I don't know how we're going to work on how I'm going to adjust this one, but it looks like it. Okay. We'll just stick to potatoes. That seems to work. I'm sure after a while when people don't even know what a potato is, right, you know. Because now it's like you go into the store and you see that they have, before it's like you had the lettuce, the this, the that, all these different things, right? And then people would buy that and make a salad. But now you can go and buy already ready-made salads. Yeah. And then you can add things to them. But even some of them have it completely with all the things added to it. All you do is just eat it. You know, so after a while, people won't even know what a whole potato looks like. So then my analogy there will also not be.
The challenges.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, okay. In order to ensure that nitya and naimittic karma are properly performed, right? So that means the nitya means the spiritual and the naimittic means which does attend to your conditioning, right? So when devotees say, well, it doesn't apply to now, that's what naimittic is. Mm-hmm. Nitya means that that is engaged in the Lord's service. So to see that they both go on, are properly performed, the compilers of the scriptures have closely studied the characteristics and natural propensities of human beings and have formulated a way of life known as varnashram. The essence of the system is that there are four natural types of human beings classified according to the work they are eligible to perform. Right? It means eligible to perform, not that they could perform, but what they're eligible to perform. Right? Because the work goes with the mentality. Brahmanas, teachers and priests, Kshatriyas, administrators and warriors, Vaishyas, businessmen and agriculturalists, and Shudras, artisans and laborers. Furthermore, the stages of life are also of four kinds, known as the ashramas: brahmachari, unmarried student life, grihastha, family life, vanaprastha, retirement from family responsibilities, and sannyas, renounced ascetic life. Those who are addicted to akarma and vikarma are antyaja, outcasts, and are not situated in any ashram.
He's taking slightly different definition of karma, akarma, and vikarma than we are accustomed to. Like more formal, I guess.
Well, it just means that it's not according to the rules or is against the rules. Right? You may be doing something that's not technically against the rules, but it's not what you should be doing. You know, like the students are hanging out, you know, and doing, let's say, having a job or something. It's not actually wrong to have a job, but it's not that they should be doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because generally, even amongst the antyajas, you'll see by varna, they're still broken down in basically the same way. But where the real mess is in the ashram. Right? There's no proper, you know, retirement from family responsibilities means you may be situated in the family, but you're not the one responsible. You're not taking that responsibility. That's being left to the younger generation. You're focusing more on the nitya than the naimittic. Okay? Does that make sense? But now there's many people who are family people who never actually took up, so it's not a matter of retiring, they never actually took up the family responsibilities. Right? So that's not proper. You know what I'm saying? Or you have this, the unmarried students, they're very much involved in family kind of scene, you know, on their own. Does that make sense? So this is the thing, is it gets mixed so much there. But otherwise, you see, is that teachers generally do teaching, priests do that kind of work, administrators, warriors, businessmen, agriculturists, artisans, laborers, they generally stick within there. There's not so much overlap, except for the businessmen. They like to take over everything and make money out of it. But, you know, other than that, then. The varnas are determined by nature, birth, activities, and characteristics, right? So all these four is how you define what it is. When varna is determined only on the basis of birth, the original purpose of varnashram is lost. So birth has a meaning, because generally if you're born in a particular family, generally speaking, you have the qualities of that family. But occasionally we see it's not. But you could probably say at least 80% of it's like that. Like that. So birth is a consideration. Right? But you still have to see the nature, activities, and characteristics. But if you only take birth, then you'll lose the original purpose. So that application of the caste system, that's not what's recommended. The caste system means you consider all of it. The ashram is determined by the various stages of life, depending on whether one is married or unmarried, or has renounced the association of the opposite sex. The predominance of impiety in a country is measured by the extent to which varnashram is absent there. Right, that's how you tell if it's pious or impious, right? Not just moralism, right? Some like to drop it to that because varnashram is how you tell. But if you don't use varnashram, then you'll use morality, and then according to that you'll say. But the problem there is then every area kind of has their own morality. There's some general morality, but if you look at the general morality, what is that there? Where does that come from? Right. It means in the Western culture that you're not supposed to steal or perform adultery. Where is that coming from?
The Bible.
The Bible, right. It's coming from religion. But not that they connect it there anymore. So now it's just ethics, it's morality. So they just think it's part of the social thing. But they say, no, but everybody, why would everybody? Unless it's something inherent. That's defined in Dharma. So even though their morality is based on Dharma, they don't know it is. So therefore they don't mind adjusting it, you know, like that. So actually, to the extent that varnashram is present or not, that's how you tell how elevated or impious a country is, or a community. Now let us consider in what sets the word nitya and naimittika have been used in relation to karma. A deep study of scriptures reveals that when these words are used in relation to the performance of karma, they have not been used in the paramartika, purely spiritual sense. Rather, they have been used either in the routine, vyavaharika sense, or in the figurative, aupacharika sense. Right? Because we noticed that there was some difference between the nitya and naimittik. Right? Means when you're dealing in karma, nitya means what you do every day. And naimittik is what you do occasionally. Right? You know, every day you get up and take your bath. You know, but only occasionally you do the Shraddha rites. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Or, you know, every day you get up, the guy gets up, has his coffee, has his, you know, whatever it is like that. But only occasionally you have Christmas or New Year's. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That makes sense? Or what you do every day is what there, and then what you do on the weekend, that's naimittik. Does that make sense? Mm. Even though the naimittik is regular. Mm. Right? In the Vedic, the nitya is every day, regulated every day. Naimittik is regulated occasionally. You know, like akadasi is naimittik, right? From that, it means it's occasional. So just as within material, you can have nitya and naimittik. Also within purely spiritual, you can have nitya and naimittik, right? Mm. So getting up, going to Mangalarti, chanting your rounds, these are nitya. But akadasi, you know, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, these are naimittik, right? So that means because these happen in both, because you're saying what's every day and what's occasional. Then you also have the platform where you're taking the material platform and connecting it to the Lord. So the element of connecting it, that's the nitya. What you're connecting, that's the naimittik. Mm. Right? Because it's not actually the living entity's nature. So here we're talking about nitya means what's actually the nature of the jiva, to be engaged in service. Naimittik just happens to be what's going on now. Right? Means you can say, no, but that's a long time. I'm doing your whole lifetime. But next lifetime, it'll be different. So therefore, it's naimittik. It's just what you happen to be doing now. Next life, it'll be different life after that, different life after that. And every time, it's a different mix of the modes. Same modes, but a different mix. So it doesn't quite come out the same. Right? Or you could also say material, because it doesn't have the focus on Krishna. The modes are different every moment. So actually, what you're doing is changing at all times. So therefore, it's naimittik. So anything that's not spiritual is actually naimittik. Does that make sense? So that's what he's pointing out, is that these two words can be used in various ways. In the paramartika is purely spiritual, vyavaharika in routine, and aupacharika in figurative. Mm. Only when by the process of karma yoga, karma seeks to achieve jnana and then bhakti, can karma and jnana be described as nitya. Right? In other words, you're performing the activity that it will bring that purity and knowledge that by which you can engage in bhakti. Right? Then it becomes classified in the case of nitya. Otherwise, it's technically not. Right? The Brahmana's Sandhyabandhana has therefore been termed nitya karma only because it directs the living entity from conditioned consciousness to bhakti. Right? I skipped the sentence. And even in this case, the usage is solely in a figurative sense. The Brahmana's Sandhyabandhana has therefore been termed nitya karma only because it directs the living entity from conditioned consciousness to bhakti. So even though he may not be on the nitya platform, the purpose of doing the Sandhyabandhana is to obtain the nitya platform. That's how it's designed, because you're going to take the activity by that purification, that knowledge, that will then bring you, then that is engaged in bhakti. You do that, then it actually is nitya. If not, it's only nitya figuratively. Mm. Means we're saying it's nitya because that's what it's for, but people may not be using it that way. Yes?
Are those three things all happening at the same time?
Can be. like that. But the point is if it's connected to the, if it's connected to the spiritual, then actually everything becomes nitya. Right? Even your irregular and irregular activities, they all become eternal. Right? But the activities of if it's material, then it's called that because that's what's supposed to elevate you. But otherwise it's naimittic. Right? So the element of the regular activities are meant to elevate you to the spiritual platform. It's only figuratively used like that. Right? In those ones that you would call that within the material, you'd call them more spiritual and more uplifting. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So what is exactly Sandhyavandana?
Sandhyavandana is the ritual that goes with it means the ritual and the chanting of Gayatri. Like that. Since bhakti is the actual transcendental nitya karma, a path starting from any backward position that ultimately helps in progress towards bhakti may also be called nitya, eternal, though on its own such a position is not eternal. Right? So that's the point of it being in the fire. Something in the fire of transcendence, it gives the same effect. Right? So it'll be called nitya because it can give that if you use it that way. Right? But it's not direct. In other words, the direct activities are nitya. The indirect activities that are used in pursuance of the, how you say, the direct activities, then that's also called nitya, even though technically they're not. Yes.
This is what we mean when we talk about things becoming spiritualized.
Yes, spiritualized. Right? Because spiritualized and spiritual, it's the same thing. All it is it's what you're using. Just like, let's say, if I run electricity through silver, or I run it through copper, or I run it through aluminum, it will move. But the silver, it will be better than through the aluminum. You understand? So the point is it still gives the effect of electricity. Does that make sense? So you have the natural form, the spiritual forms. That's going to carry the chit potency better than the external. But the external still carries it. Right? But the point is if the consciousness is there, it carries it. Consciousness is not there, it doesn't carry it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Similar discussion we had about the Upanishads, which is the vidya and the part of vidya is like
yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. So it's just if knowledge is used in connection with an eternal, it becomes eternal. If it's not, it's not. So just like Veda is knowledge, but knowledge is supposed to be used to know the Lord. If it's not used, it's not called knowledge, it's called ignorance. Like that. Thus, the Vedic Siddhanta establishes that the search for the absolute transcendental reality is a living entity's only nitya dharma, and all other religions and performances, varnashram dharma, astanga yoga, shankhya, jnana, and tapasya, are naimittika. Okay, so in other words, progress in devotional service is the only real nitya dharma. Everything else is naimittic. And then when you drop from that, then you fall into, you know, how you say, vikarma. But, you know, still you have nitya vikarma and anitya vikarma. You know, the naimittic vikarma. Right? Does that make sense? You know, every day you come home from work, they drink their beer. But you only drink the heavy alcohol on the weekends, right? You know, so you have your nitya and your naimittic vikarmic activities. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah. These are all naimittika dharma, because the jiva would not need these dharmas if he were not bound. The conditioned state of being bewildered by maya is itself a circumstantial cause, and the duty that is promoted by a circumstantial cause, nimitta, is known as naimittika dharma. Right? In other words, it's a circumstance, therefore you're doing something. So that's nimitta. Nimitta means what's happening right now. Right? So then that becomes the activity that's going on circumstantial. That's naimittika. You understand? So when we say, no, but you know, things have changed and we have to do according to what's going on now, what is that position? That's the nimitta. So that means any activity connected with that is naimittika, which means it actually has nothing to do with the soul. It's only the position the soul's in due to conditioning. Right? So we shouldn't try to say that that's higher than nitya, because it's only connected with the moment. The moment changes, right? The soul doesn't change. That's why it's nitya. Yes?
The Bhagavad Gita says, abundant overriding of conditions that represents surrender to me.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't mean that varnashram may not be followed. You know, it's followed as the system of interaction, but it's not necessary for the soul. Bhakti is necessary for the soul. You simply engage that as a medium, right? Does that make sense? In other words, you're going to express bhakti. It means you want to do some service for Krishna. So how is that going to be defined? So that service for Krishna is defined by, you know, what's available. So you have a what's available is whatever condition nature you have, right? So in that condition nature is qualified to do certain activities. So you use that qualification in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Someone who can cook for Krishna. Someone who can't, they wouldn't cook for Krishna. Right? So it's not that cooking is what's important. It's serving Krishna. So if you're a cook, then you use that for Krishna. Does that make sense?
So as we advance, we'll be leaving those dharmas which are more connected to the body.
But you're leaving those dharmas, how are you leaving the dharmas? You understand? This is the crucial point. This is why it's going over and over and over. We're actually only discussing this point. Because we say, this is spiritual, got it. This is material, got it. It's what's in between. That's what we are discussing from a million different angles. Okay, you have the teenage kid, right? And he gets himself a car, you know, and he's been looking in the magazines and, you know, watching the shows and all this, that, and then he finally gets the car that he's into, okay? What is he doing when he's driving down the road? What is his focus on? The car. It does this, it turns like this, you know, all the different things. You know, it's all about the car. It's not getting point A to point B. Right? Unless, of course, getting to point A and point B is less, you know, in 4.6 seconds, right? You know, but if it's not that, then it's all about the car. Now, as he matures and grows up, you know, he has his family, he's got his job, and he's driving to work, what is he thinking about?
Point A
to point B. Yeah, getting to work. So the point is the consciousness change, did the activity change?
No.
Not at all. Right, you could say it changed. No, but before he was driving to high school and now he's driving to work. So that's totally different. For a car, it couldn't care less where it's driving to. So it's the same thing. That just happens to be the circumstance. The point is, it's the consciousness. So in other words, Arjuna is fighting before because he's a Kshatriya and he's out there to get establish justice because Duryodhana didn't do things right, and then who's ever supporting Duryodhana, they're supporting the wrong cause, and therefore he's going to use his Kshatriya abilities to establish the justice and, you know, show his prowess and reestablish his family and, you know, bring things back to the right balance, right? What's he doing at the end of Gita? He's still fighting, but now he's fighting because it'll please Krishna. And that's the way he can please Krishna. So the technique doesn't change. This is the thing we get. No, but if the technique is there, it has to be that. No, it's devotion. Or if devotion, it's not about technique. You know what I'm saying? You know, he did this, and then Let's say you're discussing the management part, but it wasn't done well. Oh, but it's the devotion accounts. Yes, it's the devotion accounts, but the point is if someone's more qualified, then why wouldn't they be doing that? Or why can't they make themselves more qualified? Then it's just sentiment to just leave it at that. But the point is the result is for who? It's for Krishna. So why Krishna just gets whatever result happens to be there, but everybody else wants... Haribolji? Yeah, no, we're having class. Yeah, class. Okay. Haribolji. So, we don't, you know, or if it's material, then it's all about that, and you have to be so expert at that and so qualified, you know, but if you're spiritual, there's no qualification, or if it's just about that, it doesn't matter the devotion. You know, there's no question that the two can function together. But then that's the impersonal. Because it's either about the mood and there's no body, or it's all about the body and there's no mood. You know what I'm saying? So either one is consciousness is coming from matter, or consciousness exists beyond, but there is no form. So what are these consciousness? Where is that idea is coming from? Mundane. No, all it is karma and jnana, the conditioning. So this is the difficulty we have. We have the difficulty with karma and jnana. You know, if I say paramartika, I say spiritual, like that, transcendental, you know, devotional. Do I have any problem with this? What does it all mean? Spiritual, right? But if I say karma, then immediately now all the problems start. You understand? Because then, what is that karma? Because karma can get the fruitive, karma can get knowledge, karma can be used in devotion. Like that. Does that make sense? If I say knowledge, then again, that's another one. Right? Spiritual knowledge, but material knowledge, but material knowledge is useful, but it's only useful if it is connected. We'll say, material knowledge is useful if it's connected to the Lord. Yes, if it's connected. If it's not connected, it's not useful. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, but, you know, it's like, you know, everything's connected. You know, if it's connected to Krishna, it's fine. Yeah, but you're going to work. Are you connecting it? Mm-hmm. If you are, then it's nice. If you're not, it's not. Does that make sense? So this overlap, spiritualized, it's only spiritualized, means the current, the copper is only electrified if the current is running through it. You flip the switch, it's not running through it, it's just copper wires in the wall. You flip the switch, then they're energized copper wires. It's that simple. So, and you can say, no, but the copper wires are very useful. Yes, only when the energy is running through them. It's not that the walls really need to be, you know, filled full of copper wires. Right? They still use copper wires, right?
Yeah. So the meaning of that verse is the consciousness.
Yes, the change of consciousness. So that's the thing, because the soul is eternal, is nitya, but if he doesn't think and act that way, then how is he on that eternal platform? He is by his own, that he exists, but he's not by how his consciousness and where he focuses, because he identifies. We identify with the body. Why are we afraid of dying? Right? Because the soul is eternal. Where's the question of dying? Soul never dies. You know, it's just like we're not worried about, we're in this room and then we walk into the next room. You know, I'm in the bedroom, and then when I walk through the door, then I'll be in the living room, you know, like that. You know, that would be such a big thing, you know, like that. No, but when you're in this body, and then you'll be in another body. You know what I'm saying? That's all. Just that you know, how you say, here we don't label, you know, the door frame, we don't call it birth or death. That's all. Does that make sense? This side of the door is death, that side of the door is birth, you know, like that. You know, when you get technical with this. Okay. Yes.
I have a doubt, you know, because it is explained here, akama, vikama, and antyajya. But what I understood means it's akama means spiritual.
No, but here akarma means, because you have to know what it's dealing with. Antyajya means an outcast. Why are they an outcast? They don't follow varnashram. So varnashram is karma. They're not following it. That's akarma. So they're not following varnashram, and they're following vikarma, or sinful activities.
Yes.
Okay. You understand? So it's just, depending yes. upon the context, the words are used in that way.
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. These are all Naimittika Dharma, right? Varnashram, Astanga, Yoga, Shankhya, Tapasya. Because the jiva would not need these dharmas if you were not bound. The conditioned state of being bewildered by Maya itself is a circumstantial cause, and the duty that is prompted by a circumstantial cause, nimitta, is known as naimittika. On the other hand, the nitya dharma does not have material cause and springs from the soul's innate, natural, spiritual activity. Right? So in other words, this varnashram, these naimittic karmas that are recommended, by looking at the nature of the soul, right? That's what you're trying to see that's established, is the nitya. But you're applying it to the actual nimitta, the conditioning that's there. Mm. Right? The soul is nitya, but the conditioning is nimitta. Right? So therefore you have the nitya and naimittic activities.
So in the Maharaj, the question, where I put the substance, where I think substance is the case on the soul?
Yes, yes, yes.
When one says that we do not need varnashram, that means he's not understanding the difference between nitya and naimittika.
Yes, that they don't know the difference. Like, because we're not interested in the naimittik varnashram, meaning not in connection with. But then in that case, it also has its nitya and naimittik. You know what I'm saying? That's the point, is that whatever your position, you readjust. If someone's in a big house with 100 rooms, then you have what you do in what rooms and how it's done and your program. But if you go down to 50 rooms, you still work out a program. You go down, if it's even one room, you still have your program. This goes in this corner, that goes there, this goes. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what it is. You adjust it. It has the same principles, though you adjust it. So you just move it from one situation to another. Or the house is in a nicer neighborhood or not nicer neighborhood. It's still, it's still, you apply it the same way. You know what I'm saying? Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. For the encouragement of those on the spiritual ladder, the status of Naimittika Dharma has been very eloquently eulogized in the scriptures. Yet, in comparison to the genuine Nitya Dharma, unalloyed bhakti, they maintain a humble position. Right, they're glorified because if they're not glorified, who wants to do it? On the mundane platform, you don't want to do something that's glorified. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, it's just like you go back 70s and 80s. Means in the lifestyle, what was glorified? The general lifestyle. Okay, you wouldn't know that. So, it was more renunciation and, you know, hardcore things like this and that. Therefore, everybody was trying to do that. Talk about the movement, not outside.
I was thinking aspirations.
No. Because everybody was trying to be renounced.
Yes.
It didn't matter. Mm. Nowadays, what's glorified?
Family.
Yeah, community, family, that kind of thing. So therefore, then that's...
Yes.
You understand? Everyone wants to do that. The point is what's glorified is what people want to do.
Okay.
You know, the statement you wouldn't know means... It was, you know, longer ago, so then, in the context of his previous discussion.
Yes.
Okay. Yet in comparison, okay. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.10. If a Brahmin has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a brahmana, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. Okay? So that means he has that, means the Brahmin has the lifestyle, but he's not able to purify himself by it. Well, the dog eater, he has that lifestyle, but he's able to purify himself because he's a devotee. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of the consciousness that actually makes it dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay, footnote 10. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to this verse, here is a statement by Prahlad Maharaj, one of the 12 authorities, regarding the distinction between a devotee and a brahmana, expert in karmakanda, or Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. There are 4 varnas and 4 ashramas, which divide human society. But the central principle is to become a first-class pure devotee. It is said in the Hari Bhakti Sutra Doi, if one is born in a high family like that of a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya, but is not a devotee of the Lord, all his good qualifications as a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya are null and void. Indeed, they are considered decorations of a dead body. Right? Means you can say it's decorated, right? You know, when the person dies, they dress very nicely and make all nice arrangements, right? But it's just a decoration of a dead body, right? The body couldn't care less, right? Does that make sense? So it's not that there's decorations aren't there, but it doesn't matter. Because what are they? The identification is with the body. The body is dead matter. The qualities that are manifest are due to the modes of nature. Right? If the qualities are being used in the Lord's service, they're nitya, they're connected to the jiva. They're not connected to the Lord, they're connected with the conditioning. So that means even the person is very nice and wonderful and pleasant and very considerate or charitable or intelligent or whatever quality you want to attribute, it's not the quality of the soul, it's not nitya. It's naimittic, it's connected with the body. So, and the body's dead, therefore it's an ornament on a dead body. Understand? Because otherwise you say, no, but he's nice. No, the soul's not nice. The soul, yes, technically is nice, but how he's manifesting, it's not coming from the soul. It's coming from the body. It's coming from the modes of nature that control the body. So it's the modes of nature that are nice. But if someone's using it in Krishna's service, then it's not the modes of nature that are nice, it's the soul that's nice. You understand? That's the difference. That makes sense? So this is the overlap. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj speaks... Oh, okay, we got that. No? No, that is...
Yeah.
In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj speaks of the Vipras, the learned Brahmins. The learned Brahmana is considered best among the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But a devotee born in a low Chandala family is better than such Brahmanas, not to speak of the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and others. A devotee is better than anyone, for he is in the transcendental position on the Brahman platform. Right? So that Brahman platform, that's automatically Brahminical. Right? But that's by his lifestyle. We're not talking here occupation. Right? Does that make sense? Someone's a dog eater because of lifestyle, not because of occupation. Right? Because you can have a society of dog eaters, and there's going to be your leader dog eater and your follower dog eater, you know, and your farmer dog eater, and, you know, whatever it is, it's there. You know? So the point is, they're on the Brahman platform. That's why they're better than the Brahmana. Brahmana is to attain the Brahman platform, but they've already attained it by being engaged in the Lord's service. So they're working on the Nitya platform. While the other one, even though he's performing the Nitya activities are meant to come to the transcendental platform, but he's not doing that, so actually they function as naimittic. So Nitya is always more important than Nitya. Nitya is always more than naimittic, right? So that means the devotee from the dog eater family is better than the Brahmin who's doing all the karmas very nicely. Mm. Right? Because he's only getting the naimittic effect instead of the nitya effect. So because he's getting the nitya effect, he's purified and he can purify his family. Right? While the other won't. Mm.
Yeah, Maharaj, it is usually explained that the business class person in the sutra, they have ignorance.
They have ignorance. But notice here he said Brahma, Kshatriya, and Vaishya.
Yes.
He categorized there, and then Shudras below that, and then Antyajas outside that.
Yeah. It's usually explained that the Vaishya has a mix of ignorance and passion, and
right.
The sutra, ignorance. How is that ignorance used in the Lord's service?
It's not that means due to their consciousness. See, it's consciousness and skill, right? That's what places one, right? The point is, but what's the consciousness supposed to be, right? In other words, your consciousness is passion and ignorance. Therefore, you're best suited for economics, right? So now, so you do business, okay? But now you take up devotional service. Now the consciousness is Shuddhasattva, right? But what's the skill that you're able to apply? Business. So now you do business for Krishna, because that's actually what it's meant for, right? Before, it's one's taste for service to Krishna defines, therefore, what skills you have. Does that make sense? So here it's what taste you have for material energy. That's what skills you have. So all you're doing is changing what you have a taste for. Skills remain the same. Does that make sense? Because that's what you have here. That's what your body has. That's what it's good at. When you go back to Godhead, then according to your particular taste and service to Krishna, then you're going to have that particular body and those particular skills. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So the skill set goes with what is the consciousness. Right? So here it's the focus on the material that creates the skill set. In the spiritual world, it's that focus on Krishna that creates the skill set. Does that make sense? So the point is everybody's attracted to Krishna, but those who know it, it's called devotional. Those who don't know it, that's called material. Right? So it's still your attraction to Krishna. But one's in knowledge, one's in ignorance. So it's not that the ignorance is engaged in Krishna's service. It's the activities that go along with that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. So it's the engagement in the Lord's service, because we see once you put it into engagement in the Lord's service, then how does it work? Okay, in Varnashram, what's Vaikuntha? Nobody.
Spiritual.
No, that we're talking within the spiritual. Where I'm showing how it here it's Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishudra is the way it works socially and generally by consciousness and everything else, right? Because the consciousness and the activity are closely connected here. You understand? But now, when you throw in the spiritual, they still have a they still it works on this hierarchy. Okay? No? So, what is the cultural medium used in Vaikuntha to worship the Lord? Kshatriya. Right? It's on reverence. He's the king. He's the Lord, the majesty. Right. We go to Dwarka. That's the predominance, though the other elements are there. Right? Does that make sense? We go to Vrindavan. Then what's the culture there? Vaishya. Okay. But then of those who are in the highest rasas, what is their position? We were going to use that as the step after this one. Okay. What are the two highest rasas?
Madhurya and Purusha.
Okay. And who's the leader of these?
Madhurya and Yashoda.
Okay. And they are in what status according to the Varnashram? That's their social thing, but within that, then women have their own category. Right? And where do you, where are they categorized within the mundane Varnashram? Right? With Shudras. Why? Not because they have the same skill set, but because they lament like Shudras.
They're doing the menial work as well.
That's there, but let's say you take care of the cows, that's also you're doing, having to take care of menial work. It's just a matter of whether you do it yourself or you get someone else to do it. You know what I'm saying? But Mother Chota's arranging the house like that. Rohini's cooking. So does that... You know what I'm saying? In other words, within that you have Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all that. Then you have what women do. When you define Varna, you define that because they are connected with the other four. That's their nature, their skill. But the mentality has that element of the body, therefore... identifying with it, therefore lamenting and having the same difficulty, the Shudra. Therefore, you know, how you say, the Mahabharata being for, you know, Vaishyas, Shudras, women, and friends of the twice born, because there's a similar concept of ignorance there. That's why it's attractive. Does this make some sense? Do we catch the logic that's going on here? Okay, now, they're the highest of the rasas and manifest fully within the highest realm. So where does that put them? Right? That's, they're the best of the devotees. You understand? So how does it go there? It's going the other way. So when we say a mirror, it's reversed. We mean that. But the way the social system works, if Madhu Mangala is there, and he's only 15 years old or 16 years old, right? And he's there in the assembly of the Braj Basis. Who's asking him advice?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, and these everybody are of what age compared to him?
Older. Much older.
Older. Why? Because the Brahmins are the highest socially, right? Why does Nanda Baba go every year to Mathura? To pay tax to the Kshatriyas. Right? Does that make sense? And they're the Vaishyas. So they are in charge of the Shudras. You understand? So socially it works like that. But as far as the spiritual, it doesn't. It works by who is more Krishna conscious. That's all. That's the principle. So that's why it doesn't matter what a devotee is by his conditioning. If he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he's the best of devotees. Does that make sense? So that's why it's, there's the consciousness, then there's the activity, what control, it means the mode that controls that service. You understand? So art is controlled by the mode of ignorance. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that someone is controlled, necessarily has to be controlled by the mode of ignorance to do art. You understand? Brahmins are, they also can sing and this and that. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they can all do these things. But is it their occupation? Yes or no? No. So therefore, for them, it's an art. For the Shudra, his art is his occupation. You understand?
What is it about the occupation of the Shudra that makes it being an artist?
How do you perform it? How do you perform an art?
It's the body.
It's the body. You can't express an art without the body. Okay? Does that make sense?
But the Kshatriya also, he's wielding weapons.
So that makes the Kshatriya. He wields weapons. That's what makes him. So that means all the guys down at the martial arts place, they're all Kshatriyas. And the guy standing outside the the nightclub or the pub is a kshatriya. You know, all the gangs on the streets of the world, they're all kshatriyas, right? Does that make sense? All the insurgents, you know, all over the globe, they're all kshatriyas. Does that make sense? So is that a good definition? Why is he wielding weapons? Yes, and so that concept of protection, is that the body? Or is that a matter of a consciousness? You understand? Eventually everything has to be manifest through the senses. But you're manifesting protection through the senses. But what is a Shudra manifesting? The senses through the senses. You understand? He's just trying to make it sound nice or look nice or
sensual experience.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an experiential experience. That's what he's trying to create. But the others, that's not why they're trying to create it. You know what I'm saying? Like here, we're discussing a class. It's a Brahminical environment. We're discussing knowledge. You're using the senses. You're using the ears, using the eyes, using it like that. But it's not for the experiential experience. If it was, then I'd be talking like this and talking, you know, so that bring out, you know, all right? Wouldn't it? Then it becomes into that Shudra realm. That's not knowledge. Does that make sense? But if you're using that in Krishna's service, then it also is transcendental. So then again, it takes on that Brahminical platform. You know what I'm saying? In other words, spiritual is there. If you use that to enhance it, then fine. But if it's without that, it doesn't have any substance, then that's the material. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that how we perceive things is not exactly correct. So that's why these books are given to change our perception. Right? Because it's the perception change that therefore makes it what you do. Like, just like here, the dog eater. Okay. So, is he going to still be eating dogs now that he's a devotee? No. But it just means he'll have that position in society and have whatever he's doing. And that his social position will remain the same. Right? So he's still a member of the dog-eater community. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't improve the quality of his life, because now it's for Krishna. So now his body, mind, and words are for Krishna. So therefore he's cleaner, he's all these different things. But are we considering him a dog eater? But what is he socially? Yes.
As for devotees, we shouldn't consider him to be a dog eater, but for society it's okay to consider him a dog eater socially, isn't it?
Let's say this dog eater works for a Vaishya. Okay? And now when it comes to, now as a devotee, he's in a higher position than this Vaishya, right? But when it comes to decisions in the business, who makes the decisions? Who says jump and who says how high? You understand? Because business isn't his thing. Not kshatriya, you know, Brahminical, other than the devotional, isn't his thing. Right? He'll be able to do some skill or something like that. Does that make sense? We're taking this in a very generic sense. Right? Because we know in dog-eater societies, they also have their priests and their kshatriyas and their...
But you mentioned that the dog-eater is a lifestyle. It's not his occupation. So in one sense, this is, him being Dalida.
Yeah, you're not catching the overlap here. Because we're saying he's a dog eater, that where he's outside of Varnashram means he doesn't follow Varnashram, but within, they're outside of Varnashram, they establish Varnashram. Like, let's say, in the Western world, right? And we mean of the Western world, we mean the first world. Okay? Do they have a concept of teachers and priests? Yes. Do they have a concept of administrators and warriors? What about businessmen and agriculturalists? What about artists and laborers? They even have names for them. But the difference is you could move around within that. So they consider that okay. I can say he's a white-collar worker as long as I don't say he has to remain that way. He happens to be a white-collar worker now. I can call him that. But if from that he moves from there and becomes something else, there's no problem, right? So the Varnashram is exactly the same way. Right now he's acting in this way, but if he moves around, as long as he's qualified, like you don't mind if he moves if he's qualified. Does that make sense? You know, if I make the janitor the CEO of the company, you don't mind if he's qualified. But if he's not qualified, then, unless they're going to, get into mops or something. You know what I'm saying? We're having to deal with a few layers at once. What we're saying is that the lifestyle is not based on all the very strict Brahminical considerations. Okay? So the point is that, therefore, the occupations go with that. Okay? We're giving an example here, therefore putting him in the general category. If he's outside the Varnashram system, then the best he'll get within the Varnashram system is the position of labor. Right? Okay. Now, if he's a labor for a businessman, who says what to do when it comes to business? The businessman. But now, if that businessman happens to be a devotee, and he's a devotee, then who says what to do when it comes to business? The businessman, right? Okay, now let's say they both go to the temple. Does it matter who gives class? No. Does it matter who leads the kirtan? No. If they're second initiated, does it matter who does the arti? No. Does it matter? He's from Vaishya, only he can get second initiated. The devotee from the dog eater family can't get second initiated? No. So therefore he'll be living that kind of life, but socially he is still, that's kind of where he may stay. You know what I'm saying? Haridas Thakur didn't change his. The devotees who were Vaishyas, they remained there. Those who were Brahmins, they remained there. But as far as who's doing what within the devotional activities, then it wasn't, Haridas Thakur is considered the Acharya. He was from a Malecha background, but he wouldn't go into the temple. You know what I'm saying? Just because the locals wouldn't appreciate it. If he's in Vrindavan, he could go into the temple. You know what I'm saying? It just happens to be in Puri they got, they had issues. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to see these two at once. The material qualification doesn't change once you become a devotee. Devotees make this mistake. I'm just one of the guys in the temple. I don't know, so many things, but I have an idea how to organize. So now, business is going on and this and same time. Now I become the temple president. Now suddenly, because I'm the temple president, I know everything about everything. I walk into the deity room with my shoes on, my shirt on, and tell them what to do, this and that. That's a real example. And his question, I'm the president. What's the problem? I'm the head. So therefore I know everything. I know all, see all. That doesn't work like that. It's whatever your skill is, that's what you have. That's your conditioning. So your conditioning doesn't change because you became a devotee. It becomes spiritualized. So it goes from being naimittic to nitya only because it's getting a spiritual result. But as far as the laws that govern it, it's the naimittic laws that govern it. Right? You have a hand, right? And now you become a devotee. Now your hand can hear. You know what I'm saying? I mean, unless it's yellow pages, they don't walk either. Right? Finally, someone got something. Does that make sense? Okay. So it still does the job of a hand. Right? The front of the hand, the back of the hand, fingers, you know, it's not that it switches around. I wake up and my fingers are on this side. Well, that's the spiritual. I kind of liked it the other way, you know, like that. Sorry, that's the way it is, you know. You know, you should see what happens when you get second initiated. you understand? So it remains the same. Consciousness changes, but because we are so rooted in we are the body, therefore when we talk about these things, you know, in the sentence where we're saying the difference, we go yes, but in the next sentence when we're applying it in the thing, then it's no, because we go back to identifying. So what's happening there is because we're in touch with the spiritual, therefore we think that way. Yes, this is correct. The next one, then, it talks about the nine mythics, so therefore we identify with it, and then no. You understand? That's what's happening. Is that so we're applying our conditioning to something that's beyond, because the persons who work this out, they're beyond. They're studying the Veda and trying how to establish the Nitya Dharma within the nine mythic situation. So, therefore, you take the nimittic, can be a wide range, regulate it to what nimittic is useful for the nitya, and that's called varnashram. What's not useful is outside of that. That's what antyaja means. It's outside. So when we say outside, it means outside what's useful in devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So that's like, let's say you have a group of thieves. Where's the use in devotional service? You understand? So that's the point. So it's outside. Even though they may be very good at it, very expert, they have a very good hierarchy, they have great loyalty, they have a nice outfit, they got a great name, you know, and they're really good with a spray can, you know, like that, you know. Like that, you know, one of the guys has gotten, you know, awards in, you know, in the world graffiti kind of thing like that. You know, they flew him over to Warsaw, you know, put one up on the wall there. You know, stuff like that. But at the same time, it's outside. You know what I'm saying? You know, they got his big chain. You know, he doesn't tie his, you know, Converse sneakers up. You know, the whole thing. You know, it's like, but how is that useful? You know what I'm saying? As it is. So that's why it's antyaja. It's outside. Because it doesn't have, the elements are very rough to use. You could kind of technically get them there, but if they come to the temple and want to take prasad and help clean the temple, or it's Janmashtami, so help make decorations, that's fine. So they, as persons, as individuals, can be engaged very nicely. You know. Does that make sense? You know, unless you're on this altar and you want a few flowers stolen from that altar for this altar, like that, then, you know, okay, then their skill, you know, might be valued. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, the West, you know, it's right next to each other, it'd be obvious, but, you know, like here, it's quite a distance, you know. Flowers are outside, they're inside, you know, you get to...
It's like Prabhupada said, stealing the outside is not an offense.
No. Yes. That's as long as you don't get caught. You get caught, people are offended. So that's the fine. That's the don't get caught.
Right. At the time where this was written, Vaishnavas weren't so appreciated. Is it partly because people didn't understand this point?
Yeah, no, they don't. They're totally mundane. So they didn't understand the Vedic, and they didn't understand. Otherwise, if they understood the Vedic, then they would more appreciate it. But they didn't understand the Vedic, and then they had the Western mundane concept of mundane culture. So therefore, it's you know, it's similar to today. In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is addressing when you have a culture that's prominent that's not Vedic, how to establish Krishna consciousness in it. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so it's either it's a Vedic culture, it's not a Vedic culture. So, you know, the scriptures already explain very nicely the Vedic, but Bhaktivinoda was explaining how to apply that in the non-Vedic. So that's the...
All right.
Yes.
It's interesting because we are most
from the west, so Fletsa Yavana. And this argument came like from dog eater, but they are higher, they are still connected somehow to Vedic.
It depends. No, it's they're kind of in the same category. It's all within Antyajas. Then you have, you have Mlechas, Yavanas, dog eaters, you have, Antavasayins, which are the outcasts, even of the outcasts. You have a few. You have your levels within like that. No, the point is it's all the same kind of point. Well, that's why dog eaters use, because dog eaters chandala. So chandala means technically how you get to that point is that you have a Brahminical mother, a Shudra father. So it's the maximum reverse you can get. Like that. That'll be a chandala. So that's generally called a dog eater. But then if you want to be more specific, swapacha means then you take that. And then you put that with the reverse of that. You take that, which is considered, that will be because it's what do you call it?
Pratiloma.
It'll be pratiloma, against the grain. So that will be worse than the anuloma of you take a Brahmin with a Shudra.
Nishata.
Then you get a nishada. The father's higher, the mother's lower. You get a nishada. Now that nishada, now if you take the nishada boy, I think marries a Shudra girl. So then again you have a reverse. That gets a... No. I think, that gets a swapacha. The dog, unless it's a chandala marriage, I can't. We'll get to it. It's coming.
Chapter 10,
yes. After two chapters in the evening, we'll get to it. So everybody can find out their history. Your heritage. Okay. Does that make sense? So you get that. So all they're doing is swapacha is considered the lowest. Like that. Does that make sense? Because here it's saying, means you socially, your Kshatriyas, your Vaishyas, your Brahmins, if they're devotees, then that puts them in a very high position, naturally very following and this and that. But the Swapacha, if he's fixed in devotional service, he's the same. But just coming from the Brahminical platform, then to get into devotional service, the sadhana will be very easy. They're already doing it. Right? You take one of these Karmakanda Brahmins. He's very strictly following all the activities that are useful for a devotional servant. Now, if he becomes a devotee, the lifestyle is automatic for him. So that's why this point is being made. So let alone someone like that who takes up, it'll be so much easier for them. But at the same time, then but it's also the commitment. So if he remains as a neophyte, then he'll fall in and out. The reason he's doing it because he's a Brahmin, not because he's a devotee. But the dog eater devotee, from that position, he'll be doing it because he's a devotee. So he'll actually be better situated. But we're talking about if they have the same consciousness, then the one it'll be easier to do than the other.
By nature.
Just by nature, because he's used to that lifestyle. Well, the other one, he'll develop it because it's the nature of the soul to be engaged in the spiritual. So this is where the spiritual and the material things come together. Devotees try to work these out, but it doesn't work because it's not according to human nature. That's why it can't be worked out. Does that make sense? So this is how it has to be worked out. But we see is that when others try to work it out, it sounds really, really clear, but it never works. Right? I mean, means officially there have been very well organized, Varnashram committees since I think 95, 96. And then they disappear and this and that. But has anything been established? Has any of that group established anything within Varnashram? No. Individuals have tried to, done something on their own. Set up a farm or set up something. But as a group, never. Why? Because the approach is always external. But this then is able to balance the external position with the transcendental. That's why it's confusing. Because if we're devotees, then it doesn't matter. But the point is, if it doesn't matter, you can't organize anything. The person with the brahminical activity, he teaches the class. He does the... As an art, everybody can do an artik. But could everybody be a full-time pujari, and that's all they do, morning to night? You know what I'm saying? Pujaris start here, you know, at 3:30 in the morning and end about 10 o'clock at night. Right? And it's the same people who've been doing it for the last, you know, I mean, the guy who does Mangalarti, he's been doing that for at least like 20 years. Every day. You know? Why? Because he has that nature. You know? And in the temple is that, okay, no, but everybody should be able to do, why only? Yes, great. You know, Mangalarti. No one wants to do the 8:30 arti. Or the 4 o'clock, or the 8:30 at night. Why not?
Nobody
sees it. Hey, you know? You're there alone. But the Pujaris, they do it. They don't care. Because that's because it's Pujari by occupation. Means their conditioning is that. Therefore, they can do that all day. Right? An administrator or a manager. All the problems that come up in management. Does he have a problem? No. But if you're not a manager, it's a headache. Right? The person doing business, working with business, it's a problem. But for him, it's not. Or to establish an art, it's a problem. But for the artist, it's not. You know what I'm saying? The artist that he has to sit down and tune his instrument, and get it, he doesn't have a problem with that. You understand? So that's the point, is that the nature is there, that's why you can do it. Now, everybody can do an arti because they're a devotee. Everyone can dress the deities. But if you look at a community, how does it work? Some, you know, you do an arti, you know, once a week. You dress the deities once every now and then, depending how big the community is. But when you don't want to do it, who does it fall to? Another member of the community or back to a pujari? You're supposed to dress the deities on Wednesday. You know, you have something really important. You know, you got to take your kid to the dentist or something, right? So, who's going to do it? It'll go back to the pujaris. Because another community member, maybe you can call him and ask him, oh no, but I already had plans. You understand? Maybe you'll find someone, oh yeah, okay, you know, okay, that's great, I'll do yours on Wednesday, and you know, but then you have to do mine on Friday, because then, you know, it's all, you know, like that. But the pujaris is just fine. You understand? That's the difference. Everybody can give a class, but not everybody could run a seminar. You understand? Or develop curriculum. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that all these things is going to be. Now if someone leads kirtan, they're inspired. They're more inspired, they'll lead more kirtan. But someone who is a musician could always do kirtan. But now, because of that, it doesn't necessarily mean the quality of devotion will be good. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times when you have the 24-hour kirtan, you sit there, a lot of times they're musicians. And depending upon the quality of the leadership in that group, it's more devotional or more musical. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, do we take shelter of these temporary identities, like I'm a senior devotee, or this is not because of lack of faith in Krishna?
It's not so much a lack of faith in Krishna, it's just it's faith in the material energy. It's not that you come to faith and then drop it, or you see the alternative. It's that it's by conditioning, by habit, you just, you know, go the other way. Does that make sense? I move up, that means I know more than that. Yeah, but in business, you move up generally means that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, and then there's the Peter principle, right? You know the Peter principle?
Peter out?
Yeah, you peter out. It means you move up so high in the thing, you just peter out. So they call it the Peter principle. So the idea is that wherever you peter out, you should be in the one below that. But then for prestige, no one wants to be there, so they hold on to that, and then things don't run nice. So you have everybody in the company is in the petered out position, and so it doesn't work nice. So the company understands they keep everybody in their position, they do well. Right? So the point is that one moves into these positions where it's attached to the position, even though one can't do it. So, but you're considering the material platform, that I'm moving up in the company because I'm better at it. But yeah, you're moving up in devotional service because you're better at devotional service. But it doesn't mean that you have the skill. You know what I'm saying? Because yesterday I wasn't a temple president. I've never done business in my life, but now I've become the temple president. So now I know everything about business. So the little temple shop, I start telling them what to do. And then how does the business go? Right? It fails. That's why most temples have no businesses. There's tons of business people in the community. Easily. They could open, it means like that they could open. It's not, oh no, but that takes so much planning. Yeah, they'd sit down and discuss it for a few days, a few weeks, check out the thing, and then start it. You know, 6 months would be happening. You know, without that, after 6 months, well, they talk to this one and talk to that one and we check something. They would be in 6 months be making already profit. But what? Why doesn't it happen? Because they feel because of the spiritual responsibility, they automatically have the material skill. So that's why Varnashram still applies. Devotees may jump up and down, but it doesn't matter. As long as they're jumping up and down, it's not working. You know, so therefore, then we turn to the materialists and how they organize, like a corporation. And since when is a temple a corporation? You know what I'm saying? It never is, never will be. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Because the point is, even if you want to do a corporate, even if you want to take it, take it. But who can remove the top of the corporation? All the shareholders. So that means all the temple devotees can remove the temple president. So if you want to add that into the mix, go for it. But there's not one person who will agree to that. So therefore, don't use a corporation. Use something else. Don't pick from here and there unless you're George Washington. You know, he picked from here and there and put together something solid. Others picked from here and there and it doesn't work. Does that make sense? One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. In full devotional service, right, and does not fall down in any circumstance. So fall down here, just technically it can mean, we're used to fall down means you're not practicing devotional service. It can also mean you just fall from the nitya to the nimittic platform, the consciousness. That would be a subtler fall down. So one who's always situated there, then he transcends. Right? So someone on that platform, yes, he could do other things. But generally he won't. You know what I'm saying? Why would you do something else? Because you want to. But someone on the Brahman platform, do they have a problem with it? No. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I haven't heard so much speaking about the people who do the needful, like in the temple, Vaishnava is supposed to, devotee is supposed to do what is needful. If it's needed somewhere, they can do it, and then they...
Yeah, but who do you pick to do the needful?
That's my question.
Who can do it?
Yes.
You don't pick someone who can't do the needful to do the needful.
Yes.
Just like, let's say, you know, some plumbing work has to be done. Do you pick someone who's not a plumber? Right? But the head pujari used to be a plumber, so he fixes it.
But there seems to be devotees sometimes who can do all kinds, all the things. They do stick something, but they have by nature like this that they can actually do whatever is asked.
Yeah, but do they, but can they take one thing and make that prosper?
I don't know.
No. So then the point is that's its own category.
And how you would use that?
Depending upon where it is. What is the needful you're getting done? If it's in the labor area, then it's just they're a general artist. If it's in organization, then they're a Vaishya who can't make money. Vaishyas who can't make money are your perfect gophers for short-term projects. They can take it up very well, go out and get it done, but it has to be short. If it's long, they can't do it.
And what about Kshatriyas and Brahmins, if they have kind of...
No, that's another thing. The European and American devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are sometimes accepted as brahmanas, but the so-called caste brahmanas are very much envious of them. In answer to such envy, Prahlad Maharaj says that one who has been born in a Brahmin family but is falsely proud of his prestigious position cannot even purify himself, not to speak of his family. Whereas if a Chandala, a low-born person, is a devotee and is fully surrendered under the lotus feet of the Lord, he can purify his entire family. We have had actual experience of how Americans and Europeans, because of their full Krishna consciousness, have purified their whole families, so much so that a mother of a devotee, at the time of her death, inquired about Krishna with her last breath. Therefore, it is theoretically true and has been practically proven that a devotee can give the best service to his family, his community, his society, and his nation. The foolish accuse a devotee of following the principle of escapism, but actually the fact is that a devotee is the right person to elevate his family. A devotee engages everything in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is always exalted. It's interesting, if you're doing something and you give that up, let's say you're doing, you know, some job or some business and that, and you decide you don't want to do that anymore, so you change to some other profession or go back to school, you know, to get some other qualifications, then, you know, some people say, well, that's not practical, or what do you do in the meantime? But others might think, oh, okay, wow, he's thoughtful, he's taking his own life into his own hands, he's doing this and that, you know, right. You understand? Because he's still working within the mundane consciousness. But the devotee decides he doesn't want to do that anymore and would rather go in a different direction, then he's irresponsible, he's an escapist, he's a this, he's a... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point. The devotee is the one that's actually... Now he'll be doing what he should be doing in the society. Right? And he's doing what he should be doing as an individual soul.
So Maharaj, in a sense, with that sense of escapism, to say that the devotees actually are in the right position and everybody has drawn, and because they have the opinion of a mass, they say, oh, you have drawn, because
yeah.
Not where I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also you find that even if you say, well, devotee, they're not responsible in family life, but if he wasn't a devotee, would he be responsible in family life? No, he'd be the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You eat a lot and you become a devotee. You eat a lot. You know, you eat a little bit and you become a devotee. Eat a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's the same kind of thing. You know? Does that make sense? So the point is that's the thing. Someone who's naturally tidy, when they're a devotee, they'll still be tidy. Cleanliness you learn, but tidiness is that. Is that what I'm saying? So it doesn't change. Okay. We find two varieties of human beings in this world. Udita Viveka, those with spiritually awakened consciousness, and Anudita Viveka, those with slumbering consciousness. Among the second type, the Brahmins are the most advanced, and the secondary Nitya Karma prescribed for their caste is the foremost among all mundane religious practices. Okay, so now he's showing the position in which we're defining it, right? Because before we have to understand the concept, because then when we get down to the detail, very easy, right? Because other we start with this detail, then it doesn't make sense. So in other words, those who are awake, then we're that's one to not being discussed at this point, but it doesn't matter because they're engaged in devotional service, right? But those who are sleeping, then amongst the sleeping, then the one with the brahminical nature, those karmas are the best of the sleeping. Does that make sense? And then the kshatriyas and next, like vaishyas next, like this. But if you're awake, then they all are on the same level as far as the devotional content. But as far as organizational, it's still that this one's higher than that one, just because without knowledge, how do you create the environment? But, you know, does that make sense? Mm. Unless there's a protected environment, you can't do business. Without people to help, you can't do anything. So that's why that order is there. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned, yeah, if you're awake, all of these are on the same levels.
Some devotionally, but mechanically.
Mechanically, yes.
Then they still have their position.
Yes. Some devotees have a conception that if you're... a Brahmin by occupation, you have to be initiated by a Brahmin spiritual master. Or if your Vaishya has to be of the same kind of caste.
No, it's nothing to do with that, because the point is that why would you mix the two? Brahmin is your conditioning. Vaishnav is what's transcendental to that. So a Vaishnav should be initiated by a Vaishnav. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like that. So the person who's acting as a Vaishnava, he can do that. The recommendation is only, means there are shastras that will recommend that only a Brahmin gives by conditioning gives initiation. But that's only because of the conditioning of others that you would consider, I'm socially better than him, so why is he my guru? So to avoid that. Or the element is someone who's brahminical by nature would have that particular understanding of logic and those things, so they'd be able to present it in such a way that someone with a brahminical conditioning would appreciate. But that's the only reason. It's because of the conditioning of the persons. It has nothing to do with the quality of the initiation. It's nothing to do with that. Does that make sense? Okay. Oops. Put that back here. Why is that back here?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainita Gaur.